Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yes, we're so glad that you guys are here.
Thanks for hopping online with us. We're beyond excited for the chance to get to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead and get comfy, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We repping Dallas over here, but we want y'all to represent too.
Now we've got a great service planned for you guys, so let's get into it. Enjoy service.
Enjoy!
Start standing to our feet and shaking it out as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. If you're joining us online, welcome. I encourage you, wherever you are, stand to your feet, do whatever you can to join us in worship. Hallelujah. Anybody glad to be here today? Come on, let's make some noise, y'all. It's 11 o'clock. Y'all should be up by now. If you're still asleep, go ahead and shake it out. Hallelujah. This morning, we're just going to say, I thank God for his power, for his love, for his protection. Somebody just shout, I thank God. Shout it. Come on, louder. Say, I thank God. Come on, let's clap our hands. Yep. Wanting a place to hide this weary soul. Hey, this bag of bones. Yeah. And I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. If you know it, you can sing it. A vagabond. Hey. And just when I ran down the road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I am not alone. Come on, clap.
He picked me up.
Come on.
Turned me around. Placed my feet on solid.
Say, I thank the Master.
I thank the Savior.
Because he healed my heart.
Hey,
he changed my name.
Forever free.
I thank the Master. Savior, say, I thank God. Say, yeah, everybody clap your hands. Hey, hey, I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning. Somebody say, like ashes in the wind. Yeah, so long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. Tell them this, no, you ain't welcome here. Yeah, say, from now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. He picked me up,
hey,
he turned me around. Place my feet on,
sir.
I thank the Savior because he healed my heart. He changed my name. I'm forever free. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Shout it out. Say, I thank God. Come on. Say, I thank God. Yeah. Say, I thank
God.
Yeah. Come on, we're going to lift this part up together. Declare that hell lost. Come on, say.
Hell lost is not the one. I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
Say, I am free.
I am free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost is not the one. I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
If you believe you're free, declare,
free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost is not the one. I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I'm free indeed.
I am free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost is not the one.
Yeah. Say,
hell lost is not the one.
I am free.
I am free.
Say, I am free.
I am free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost
yeah.
Is not the one.
I am free.
I am free.
Say, I am free.
I am free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost is not the one.
Yeah.
I am free.
Say, I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
Say, hell lost.
Hell lost is not the one.
Say, I am free.
I am free.
My feet
on solid ground. I think
Savior. Say, I thank God. Come on. Yeah. Say, I thank God. Say,
I thank God.
Come on, somebody declare it the last time real loud. Let's lift it up. Say, I thank God. Say,
I thank God.
Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody thank him with the clapping of your hands. Yeah. Because you picked me up. You turned me around. You placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah. That's something to be thankful for. Hallelujah. That he has the power. Anybody thankful he has the power to pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground? In other words, he has the power to change your situation. I don't care what your situation may be. There is power in Jesus to change that situation. Whether it be anxiety, whether it be depression, whether it be suicidal thoughts, whether it be addiction, whatever it is, he has the power to pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. He can change your heart, change your name. And let me tell you, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed forever. You're not the same. So I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for breaking every chain. All the chains are broken in your name. Amen. Let's go.
Break every chain. To continue on with our service, I want to welcome up Mr. Sam. He's one of our excellent kingdom servants. He serves faithfully. He prays for you all every Monday. We have a prayer meeting. I'm so grateful to have him a part of this ministry. So I want you all to stand to your feet and clap your hands for Mr. Sam as he brings the word of God today.
Is it that mic? Is it that mic? Good morning, good morning, good morning, Next Level. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? That's good. It's unfortunate that spring break is almost over, but hopefully you had a great week during spring break. this month we've been talking about commitment. And, you know, it's important, the commitment that you make, because that also will play a big role in terms of how your life goes. So commitment is very important. And the first week with high school, we talked about a commitment to the Word of God, learning the Word of God, you know, practicing the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And then last week, we talked about a commitment to sexual purity. This morning, I want to talk about a commitment to prayer, okay? So before I start, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We acknowledge, God, if it had not been for you, God, we would not be here, God. Every good and perfect gift come from above. So thank you, God. Thank you for all that you have already done. Thank you for each and every person that you brought here. And today, those that will be watching online, is not by accident or coincidence, God. And I pray, God, that you would prepare our hearts to be hearers, not only hearers, but doers of the word, to practice your word, God, so that we can experience the power of prayer as we pray by faith according to your word and according to your will. Lord, have your way in and through our lives. I pray, God, that you help remove me, that it's not me who speak, but that I'll be a vessel used by you so that your word will go forward with clarity, with conviction, with boldness and strength. We love you, we honor you, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray this prayer. Amen. So there's this story about this bar owner who was trying to build, you know, a new bar next to a church. So the church was frustrated. Now, you know, they should have seen it as a potential ministry opportunity, but they were frustrated that this bar owner was trying to build this church, build this bar in the vicinity of this church or whatever. So, you know, they went, tried to fight it with zoning, with different reasons why the bar owner should not build it. But eventually the bar owner was able to be successful and to proceed with attempting to build the bar. So he started building the bar, and then within a week, the church, you know, they had tried everything, and they were like, hey, we should have an all-night prayer vigil, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the Lord to do something so that this bar does not get, you know, finished by this church. So on the night in which they were praying, that evening, there was a huge storm, and then lightning hit the bar, and the bar burned down. So now the bar owner became very frustrated, and he was like, I'm suing these church people because they are responsible for my bar burning down. And then the church people, they were like, so he hired an attorney, and the church people were like, we had nothing to do with that. That was not our fault. So the judge was like, man, this is going to be an interesting case, because no matter who wins, it's interesting that the bar owner believes in prayer, but the church people don't believe in prayer, because the church people were like, it's not us that did it or whatever. And it's interesting, as I say that, you know, that's tongue-in-cheek in terms of, like, some of y'all might be like, man, yeah, you know, when you talk about prayer, the truth of the matter is a lot of us don't experience the fullness of the power of prayer in our lives, if we are honest. We hear people talk about prayer. We see people in the Bible that talk, you know, in terms of where prayer happened. But we ourselves never experience the fullness of the power of prayer in our lives. And this morning, I want to just kind of go over, you know, a pattern of prayer between Matthew chapter 6. But I also want to use an Old Testament passage to kind of go through so we can see the importance of experiencing prayer as life is happening to you. How many people know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, second service, y'all are better. So first service, we were struggling. So this is what I need to happen. I need y'all to say it loud and strong, the Lord's Prayer, starting with our Father, okay? Because first prayer, it was like, man, at first service, people did not know. Okay, one, two, three.
Our Father.
Amen. Good job. Clap it up. First service, when they got to that, for thine is the kingdom, there was a lot of. So y'all did a really good job, okay? And so today, we will go back and forth between the Lord's Prayer and this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have this passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1 said, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and then some of the Midianites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hazan Tamar, that is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Okay, so we're going to go through this passage a little, and then we'll go back and forth with Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 11 in terms of the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not an incantation, a magic spell, or something that you just say just to say it. It is a pattern that God gives us. The disciples, they were with Jesus. They saw Jesus do a lot of miracles. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus fed 5,000. Jesus did a lot. And the disciples came to Jesus and they were like, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because they realized that in Jesus' life, prayer was such a valuable part of his life that they wanted to know how to pray. So as we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, here we have this king named Jehoshaphat. Now, if you know your Bible history, remember that there were two kingdoms that were separated after Solomon's son, King Rehoboam, and the kingdom was divided. So we had 10 tribes, that was the northern kingdom, 2 tribes, that was the southern kingdom, okay? The northern kingdom, they had bad kings. Those kings rebelled against God, they did wicked, they led the people astray. The southern kingdom, they had some kings that were good, some kings that were not so good. Jehoshaphat is a king that was a pretty good king. In chapter 19, it talks about when Jehoshaphat became king. He was a king, a leader who led revival, he led renewal, and he led the people to come back to God, to understand how important. In chapter 19, it talks about how he put judges in place, that they would rule correctly. He put priests and Levites in place so that they would instruct the people. So quickly, you understand, if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 19, Jehoshaphat, he had a passion for the word of God. He loved the word of God. He wanted to obey God. So that is how chapter 19 ends. And then we come to chapter 20 that say, after this, here we have this great king who loved God, but even though he loved God, guess what? Trouble and problems come. It say, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Midianites, 3 different armies from 3 different nations are coming against him. And this is the thing, because Jehoshaphat is a man of God, but even though he's a man of God, it says, when they told him the news that this vast army was coming against him, it says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. Jehoshaphat was terrified. Jehoshaphat was frightened. So guess what? You can be a child of God. You love God. You love going to church. And guess what? Trouble will come. Trouble will happen. Problem will happen in your life. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. And sometimes there's some of us who get so frustrated and so angry with God when problem come. It's the rain fall on the just and the unjust. In this world, you will have tribulation. You might as well prepare for it. You might as well just know it, that problem will come. Jehoshaphat loved Jesus, but guess what? Problem's gonna come. After this, these 3 armies come, and now not only does the problem come, but this strong man of God, he is frightened, he is terrified, he is shook. Have you ever had experience in your life that shook you to the core? You thought you believed in God, you thought you had this, and then it's just like this problem come from nowhere and hit you upside your head and you don't know if you're coming or going. It says Jehoshaphat was frightened, but it doesn't only stay there. It says Jehoshaphat was frightened and he resolved to seek the Lord. So that's one thing Jehoshaphat had going for him. He was determined to go to God. Young people, Sam, whoever listening to this message, I encourage you. We know problem will come, but we want to encourage you to have such a rich, vibrant relationship with God that when problem come, prayer is not the last option, but it's the first choice that you turn to. See, the thing is, prayer is such a tool that God has given the Christian that no matter how big the problem, no matter how small the problem, no matter what the issue is, God invites you to bring it to him in prayer. Because no matter how big it is, it's not too big for God. Jehoshaphat was terrified. He was afraid. He was frightened. He was scared. But he made up in his mind he would seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. And so many times, I'm running to everything else, to this person. There's people who turn to drugs, who turn to drinking. There are people who turn to sex. There's people who turn to their friend, turn to their parent. No matter what the problem is, run to God before running to everybody else. Jehoshaphat resolved that he would seek the Lord. It tells you in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then in Hebrew, it says, God reward those who diligently seek him. So it becomes important. Today, there'll be a couple of different points I'm making, but I'm encouraging you as a young people to develop a relationship with God that you run to God no matter what. You have a communion, a communication with God, a relational aspect that God become the person that no matter what you're going through, you turn to him. Jehoshaphat was scared. But Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord. I like the song that say, I sought the Lord, I heard, God heard me, and he answered me. Not only did Jehoshaphat, was he scared, not only did he seek the Lord, but he was serious about seeking the Lord because it says that he proclaimed a fast. And that is taking it to another level because there are some things that do not happen but through prayer and fasting. You want to take it to another level as you pray? Commit to fast. I don't have time enough today to talk about fast, but that's a discipline that is so critical in the life of Christian, that God expects us to fast, to turn over, whether it's food, whatever it is, to turn something that you normally do so that you can focus more on the spiritual realm. He's scared, but then he seeks the Lord. And as he seeks the Lord, he even demonstrates how serious he is in seeking the Lord by fasting. And not only does he fast, but then he called all the people of Judah to come together, men, women, children, and to pray and to seek God. See, to me, that's important because God doesn't call any of us to be Lone Ranger Christian. God called us to be in a community. You are in a family. When you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, God invited you to a family. Okay, God is the Father, and you have brothers and sisters. And I'm gonna tell you, you may be strong right now, but if you keep on sleeping and you keep on waking up, eventually life come at you, and guess what? You might be in a point one day that you're not as strong as you thought you are. And that's why we got brothers and sisters that will stand in the gap and pray. And today might not be your turn that you are not feeling that strong. You might be the one praying for somebody else, but understand you are part of a family. Right now, just real quickly, as we're talking about prayer, this is a critical point. In Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, it say, our Father. It doesn't say my Father. It say our Father. That means there are other people to the right, to the left that are also part of the family. So when the first question I want you to ask your neighbor is, ask them, are you part of the family? Okay? Ask your neighbor, are you part of the family? And if you're not part of the family, don't lie. Because part of it is, when we're talking about praying, it's a relational aspect. Right now, you know, I might not have $100 on me, but if you come and ask me for $100, I might not give it to you. Now, if my son, because of the relational aspect that I have with him, he's more prone to get the money than you are. And understand, when we're talking about the power of prayer, it starts with the relational aspect that God loved you so much that he sent his son, and his son was beaten, he was bruised, he was crucified so that you can enter into relationship with him. It starts with the relationship. Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, today we're going to talk about four things, and we're going to talk about five things. Look up. Everybody say look up.
Look up.
Look back.
Look back.
Look into.
Look into.
Look at.
Look at.
And look forward.
Look forward.
Everybody again, look up.
Look up.
Look back.
Look back.
Look into.
Look into.
Look at.
Look at.
And look forward.
Look forward.
So we have Jehoshaphat that's scared. Jehoshaphat seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat is serious. Jehoshaphat called the congregation, and now in verse 5, Jehoshaphat is about to pray. And as Jehoshaphat prayed, it says, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Verse 6, and said, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of nation? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. The first thing Jehoshaphat did, yes, he has a problem, but what is the pattern that he used? I got this problem. He said, I'm going to look up. He looked up and he realized that God is who God said he is. In Matthew chapter 6, Luke 11, it says, Our Father who art in heaven. No matter what you are going through, you want to be able to see God for who he is. First of all, God is your Father. And the thing is, to be honest, some of us, we have had such a bad experience with our Father that we cannot appreciate God as a Father. And for some of us, we need to say, God, heal my heart. My experience has been so traumatic. It's been so crazy that I have a hard time understanding and seeing what a good Father look like. And God is a good Father. He loved you so much that no matter what you have done, where you have done it, who you have done it with, he say, I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting arm. Nothing can separate you from my love. I loved you so much that I gave my only begotten son, that if you believe, you will not perish but have everlasting life. You got to understand deep down inside, you are loved. You are precious. God sees you as the apple of his eye, because if you don't see that, then you will be scared to go to God. When you sin, when you make a mistake, instead of running to God, you're going to run away. But when you understand God loves you no matter what, there is absolutely nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God. There is nothing you can do to make you love God more. When you understand the depth, the width, the breadth, the height, the length of God's love, that should push you into a relationship with God. Now, if I ask you, think about who do you want to meet? And some of y'all, you know, think about your favorite athlete, your favorite whoever that you would want to meet. Imagine you meeting that person, whether it's a singer, whether it's an author, whether it's an athlete. Imagine meeting that person, how you would be so in awe. You know, people go goo-goo gaga when they meet their, you know, the person that they're looking forward to. But I'm saying the God who created the heaven and the earth is inviting to talk to you. Think about that. You may love Beyonce, you may love Taylor Swift, you may love whoever it is. I know, this might be the wrong audience or whatever. You may love Dak Prescott, whoever your superstar is. Imagine how you would act when you stand in front of that person. And God is saying, you know what? I'm bigger than those people. I care more for you than they could ever care. You go Google Gaga when you go to a concert, and God is saying, I'm inviting you to a communion, to fellowship, to talk with me every day, and you just ignoring it. Our Father who art in heaven. God is in heaven. That means his perspective is different. He sees things differently. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his way towards you. There are things you cannot even fathom. You cannot even understand. And God is working things out. Sometimes you don't even understand it. But you can trust God because God is faithful. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is yes and amen. When God said it, that settles it. And God is saying, I got your back. I know the plans that I have for your life. So even though when life is hard, even when you don't understand, you got to trust God because he's trustworthy. Our Father, paternity of God, he is your Father who is in heaven. He's on a different level. He's on a different perspective. He don't see things as you see it. You are limited. You don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. I know you think you love this person. I know you think this person loves you. But then it breaks apart and you're like mad at the person. And God is saying, I'm taking you somewhere that person won't even be able to handle. So I might as well get them out of your life right now so I can get you with the right person and prepare you for where I'm taking you. But you all sad and you all crying because you don't see the perspective that God got a bigger plan for you. Your way are not his way. Your thought are not his thought. Our God, the paternity of God, the perspective of God, that he is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That means I'm going to praise you, God. That means, God, when I think about all that you have done, I got to praise you. Hallowed be thy name. And in thy kingdom come. When it say thy kingdom come, it's talking about purpose. You are not here by accident. It's not by coincidence. But God has divinely, sovereignly made you for this season. He put you in the family that he put you. He put you in the situation that he put you so that he can use your life. It's not by accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not by chance or circumstance. God is orchestrating something that he is a God who got a plan and purpose for your life. So even if you like Joseph and things look crazy, if you trust God, you're going to be able to say what the enemy meant for evil, God going to turn it around and use it good. I know your family be acting crazy. They be acting cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. But I'm telling you, God is still working. God is not surprised. God is not like, what just happened? He is a God of intentionality if you would just submit and surrender. Jehoshaphat looked up. And he said, God, are you not the God who is sovereign? Are you not the God who is all powerful? Are you not the God who can do anything? No man can stand before you. So the first thing I encourage you is to look up. But then not only do you look up, you got to look back. Because when we go to verse 7 and say, did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and in it they have built your sanctuary for your name. And so what Jehoshaphat is doing is he's looking back. He's going back and he's looking at like, man, I got this new problem, but I remember what God has done in the past. And sometimes you just got to take a moment to say, man, I know this is a new problem, but I have to reflect. God brought me out of this. He brought me out of that. He brought me out of this. What is this new thing that God cannot deliver me from? We got to have a resume with God. And sometimes that's why you see when you see the psalm, David is writing stuff because you know what? We quickly forget. We pray to God, God deliver me from this, and God does it. And guess what? As soon as you get to a new problem, you forgot that God, what God did for you, and you are acting like, oh no, I'm gonna die. There's no way I can make it through this. And God is saying, guess what? Hey, the same God that did it in the past, he's able to do it right now. And right now, I don't have a lot of time. I'm giving you 30 seconds. I want you to think of something that God did in your life that you could say, man, if it wasn't for God, I would not have gotten out of that situation. I want you to get that situation right in your mind right now. Think about something that God has done within the past week, within the past month, within the past year, even the past couple of years, that you're like, man, only Jesus brought that. Everybody have that thing in your mind. We're not going to have time for you to share it, but I want before the day is out that you can share it with somebody and say, man, this encouraged me because when I think about what God did for me to bring me out of that situation, this situation that I thought was impossible, God did it, that encouraged me. You look up, you look back at God's faithfulness, remember who God is, remember what God has done. But then after that, you have to look into his word because when we get to verse 7, it say, if disaster come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and save. And this is exactly from when Solomon was praying, after he had built the temple, and he was praying, this scripture comes from there. To me, Jehoshaphat looked up, to remember God's greatness, God's attribute. He looked back to remember God's faithfulness, but then he looked into his word. In John chapter 15, verse 7, it said, if you remain in me, in my word, and remain in you, whatever you ask, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And this is so important because there is two conditions that Jesus is talk about in terms of prayer. The first one is if you remain in me, you got to be connected to God. I remember when I was in college, there was this point where there was this nice little hottie that I was interested in. And I remember I was like, man, Lord, you see, I love Jesus. She loved Jesus. If you would just make us come together, you know, be in a relationship. And the funny thing was like, you know, so many times we're praying and we stop praying because we prayed something and God did not do it. See, at that point, that girl did not give me the time of the day, okay? It did not give me the time of the day. But as I think about it, that's one thing. I remember the time when I got the call that my mom had a stroke and they called me and they was like, hey, you need to get to Miami right away. Mom is not looking good. And I remember getting that call, and I remember my wife, me and my wife, we were here, and I remember me praying with her saying, man, I'm going to Miami, but I'm not even worried because God's got this. My mom, if God can raise Lazarus, my mom, she's going to be all right. She's not, you know, she's not going to die. And I remember me and my wife, we were believing. We were like, yeah, I'm going, but she's going to be all right. And I got to Miami Sunday night. All my siblings were already gathered. I had four brothers, four sisters, and I was the last one to come in. And everybody was already like sad and everything. And then I'm like, I don't even know why y'all sad. Don't y'all know y'all, God can do anything. And then the next morning, like my mom passed away. And it was like, actually it was the next evening or whatever. But it was crazy because so many of us, we get so disappointed when we pray and God don't move the way we thought that he would move. But it goes back to the thing that I was telling you. You are not God. God see things and God understand things that you don't understand. And that's why when we're talking about prayer, I might not have time to get through this. When you know that you are loved by God, when you know that God, nothing he does is by accident or coincidence, then you can have a trust and a faith in God that even if anything happened, you still will trust God. Jesus was saying, Lord, if it be your will, remove this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. This is my encouragement to you. You got to get into the word. Pastor Isaac preached such a powerful message the first Sunday about commitment. Because if you are not in the word, you will not be able to make it. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says that two people built the house. One of them was it. Both of them, they heard the word, but one of them was a doer of the word and the other one wasn't. And the storm came for both of them. And the one that was not a doer of the word, guess what? His house came crumbling down. Sam, whatever your name is, who's sitting in the audience, do you know how many sermons you hear? Depending on how old you are, every Sunday you come into church, Wednesday you come into church, you hear, and what are you doing with those sermons? Is it just going in one ear and coming out the other ear? Or are you going to resolve to say, you know what, I'm going to take God serious and put his word in practice because life is coming at me like a Mack truck and I'm not strong enough on my own. I'm not wise enough on my own. I'm not big enough on my own to handle life on my own. And I need a God who no matter what, from age to age, he is strong. He is sovereign. He is sufficient. He's a sustainer and he will uphold me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your presence is powerful. But that happened when I'm not just playing church, Sam, but I'm taking seriously God's word that if God tell me to do something, that I commit to make the time to prioritize God. See, I've lived long enough. I was born in the church, raised in the church. And then life will come at you, and before you know it, you don't know if you're coming or going. I remember going through months and months of depression, deep, deep depression, almost suicidal. And I'm so grateful for God's graciousness pulling me out. But one of the things is like, while I'm coming to church, take his word seriously so I can be standing on a firm foundation. I look up. I have to reflect and remember who God is. I look back. I have to see God's faithfulness. He's been so good. All my life, he's been good. Even when I wasn't good, even when I've sinned, even when I've done things I should, he's been so faithful. If it had not been for him, I would not be here. It is in him I move, in him I live, in him I breathe, in spite of my sin, in spite of my shortcoming, in spite of my failure. He has been so good. And because he has been so good, I want to surrender to him. And the way I surrender is by getting into his word and by the power of the Spirit to obey his word. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. Don't just talk about, you know, I'm so grateful my wife is here, my two kids are here, but I cannot tell my wife I love her and I'm doing all kinds of craziness. You know, the other day I was telling my son, I was like, I love you so much. And then I was like, does Dada love you a lot? And he was like, yes. And then I was like, how do you know that I love you? And he was like, because you always tell me. And I was like, yeah, but it's not enough to just use my words. There's action that I do to demonstrate my love to you. And part of it is, as I love God and I get into his word, I'm hearing the word, But then, Lord, help me to be a doer of the word. Help me to practice your word, because you've given me the power of your spirit to not just hear it in one ear and come out the other ear, but God, that this word is going deep, that my life is being transformed and being looking more and more like Jesus. Jehoshaphat, he looked up, he looked back in God's faithfulness. He looked into God's word in terms of he is quoting God's word. And in verse 10, it says, "See now, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, they will reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given us to inherit." And right there, he's looking at the problem. You cannot be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You know, sometimes it's like there are situations that you're going through. You got to be real about the situation. You got to be honest about the situation. See, God is not surprised for you to be honest with God. And sometimes we'll put a facade that everything is perfect. And we, you know, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And you are struggling. God is okay with you being honest. God is okay with you telling the truth and being specific. After he looked up and give God all the glory and praise God for who he is, after he looked back and reflected on God's goodness, and then he looked into God's word and he repeated God's word to God, then he is able to be honest about the situation. Come, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about, you know, the truth of the matter is there are times we are like, if we were really honest with people, some people would walk away from us. If people knew every thought that we thought about, they knew everything about us, how many of the people that's your friend would still be your friend? But God is saying, I know everything about you, and I still love you. I know everything. There's nothing you can hide from me. And in spite of everything I know about you, I love you. There is nobody that can compare to that love. Be honest with God. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Make up in your mind, no matter what life brings, God is always somebody through prayer I'm going to run to, because he knows everything about me and he loves me. You look up. Our Father who art in heaven, you see the paternity of God, you get the perspective from God. Not only do you get the perspective, but then as you prioritize God, you also praise God, and then you also are able to see God, your purpose and your plan, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I have my own plans, but God, I submit my plans to you, that not my will, your will be done. You look up, you look back, you reflect on God's goodness, God's grace, God's faithfulness, all the things about God that he has done in your life that you are just grateful. Develop an attitude of gratitude. Don't be like the children of Israelite. Every time they face a new thing, they quickly forgot what God has done. Remember, God has done too much for you to quickly forget what he has done. Then I look into God's word, be a student of the word, not only a hearer, a doer of the word, so that you, when you are going through, you can remember God's word, that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if your mother and your father will leave you, I will always be with you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear. You don't have to fear anything. God is saying that he is your refuge. He is your strength. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord that you are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my refuge. You are very present. Help in time of trouble. When I walk through the, it say, even if I walk through the fire, I will not get burned. Even if the water come to overflow me, I will not drown, because you are with me. You got to know some of the promises that God has for you. So when the devil is speaking lies in your head, speaking lies in your mind, you can say, man, I know what God has said. And my situation, my circumstance, even my own mind may be telling me something, but I'm going to stand on God's word. I look up, I look back, I look into, and as I look into, I look at. And when we look at, it talks about, you got, you know, give us this day our daily bread. God is a provider. He's able to provide all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. There is absolutely nothing too difficult for him. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that is pardon. That means I can receive forgiveness from God. There is nothing that I can do that the blood is not stronger to forgive me and wash me and make me white as snow. I don't care what the sin is. The blood of Jesus is so strong that if you confess your sin, you repent, his blood is able to wash you. And not only do I receive God's forgiveness, but I can release. Because sometimes there are things that people have done to you and they have hurt you. And you like, man, I can never forgive that person. But if you remember how much God has forgiven you, then that will free you up to forgive other people. And you can trust that God will be the ultimate judge. So as you look into God's word, as you look at the situation, each and every one of us have something that we're going through that is coming at us hard. And God is saying, come talk to me about it. Because even if the situation don't change, God can change you in the situation to allow you to have the stamina, to have the strength, to have the stability, to stand strong in the midst of the situation. And then it say, and deliver us from evil. Listen, there's an enemy that's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He got a target on your back and he want to take you out. And God is saying that I got the power to protect you. So Jehoshaphat, look up, look back, look into God's word, look at God's word. But then this is where I love it, where he says, he goes on by saying, verse 12, O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This is where it's so critical when we talk about prayer, is a posture of dependence. You know why sometimes, Sam, you don't pray? Because you are so prideful, you think you got it. You think you don't need God for this. I don't need to tell God about this. I got this. And then you wonder, man, how come I did this bad mistake? How come I? Because you did not take the time to seek direction from God. You thought you were smart enough that, hey, this is the thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, when I want, how I want to do it. And you wonder how you got in such a mess. And God is saying, call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you the path that you should go. There are so many decisions you got to make. You really think you are smart in of yourself that you can predict the future? Where you have somebody who already know the future, who already been there and came back and saying, I want to guide you. But you're like, forget that. I don't need to hear what you got to say. I'm going to listen to this person. I'm going to listen to that person. I'm going to go on social media and get help over here. I'm going to go. And some of those people are floundering just as bad as you are, but they just know how to put a good front. God is saying to you that I want to guide you in the way that you should go. And I want to equip you so that when all hell break loose in your life, you can stand. Not because you're good, but because God is good. You can be able to say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded beyond of a shadow of a doubt that God is able to guard that which I have entrusted into his hand. It started with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and that is protection. 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 Be careful when you think you're so strong. I remember when I was younger, you know, I was a little cocky and I was a little arrogant. And sometimes you live life enough and life will humble you. Life will beat you down that you lose that cockiness. And one thing that I want to encourage you is like, God is available to protect you. To help you when you are tempted, that you do not have to fall into the temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So Jehoshaphat said, I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And after Jehoshaphat finished praying, this is the thing, because it's one thing to pray, but after you pray, you got to have an expectancy that this is not a one-way communication, one-way conversation, that God will speak to you. You got to be still enough to hear what God is saying. As you talk to God, you need to make sure you create in time to hear what God is saying. And God used the prophet to speak to Jehoshaphat. And as he used the prophet says in verse 13, he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." The battle is not yours, but God. Verse 16, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will come up of the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jannah. The battle is not for you to fight. Take your position. Stand still and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." It's one thing to just tell God all your problem. It's another thing when you are in a relationship. I have a son, I have a daughter. One of the most frustrating things, and I'm trying to teach them, is when they always say, "Give me this, give me that, give me that," and they never take the time to be grateful and to ask, like, to understand my heart. And sometimes I feel like my children, that I'm going to God, "God, give me this, do that." And I don't take the time to say, it's not about God being a magic genie and just giving me what I want, but it's about me being in a relationship with him and understanding that he is my loving father and that I want to know his heart. I want to know his mind. I want to be able to, it say, Enoch walked with God and he was no more. God, help me to move from duty. Oh, this is just something that I need to do. I just need to pray. Help me to move to have a desire that I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to abide with you. I want to talk with you. And take me from desire to delight, that I look forward to spending time. Just like I want food, just like I need my breath. I got to talk to you, God, because you are my closest friend. You are a burden bearer. You are a heart fixer. You are a mind regulator. You are the God who have done so much for me that I'm grateful. And I look to you, God, where my help come from. Lord, take us, take me from playing church, from just going through a program, a routine, something that I don't definitely do, to understanding an intimacy with God that comes through prayer. There's power in prayer, but there's an intimacy in terms of communion where you know God's heart. That's why God is able to answer the prayer, because your will is aligned to him. You know what it is that he's telling you to do, and you have aligned your will to his will. Jehoshaphat prayed. He was able to be still enough to hear. God spoke and God said, "You don't have to fear." Because when all is said and done, it's a fight for your fate. Are you going to take God seriously? Or are you going to listen to the lies of the enemy? And God is saying, if you walk by faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because when you have faith, I don't care what's going on in your life, you can have that calm assurance. You can have that settled peace because you know who hand you're in. Faith. Acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. Because when he have faith, guess what happened? God tell him to do a ridiculous thing. Tomorrow when you go to fight, put the praise team on the front. And when you put the praise team, you're going to win. They put the praise team, the musicians, the Levites. And as soon as they start praising God, the enemy completely annihilate each other. When you are walking with God and you have fellowship with God and you have communion with God, God can get you to the place where no matter what's going on the outside in your life, you can have a peace. And because you have that peace, you can trust and do what God tells you to do, even if nobody else does it. Because when they are able to obey God, guess what? They are able to be victorious. My prayer for you, my prayer for myself, my prayer for those of us who are believers would be that we would experience the full power of God that comes through prayer as we pray by faith according to God's word and God's will. That you will experience that you will commit to not settle for some cheap imitation walk, but you would have such an intimacy with God that you would experience all that God has for you. And so many times God is looking, like when before I came to preach, second service, something was like, Sam, it might be one person who gonna say, I am taking this serious. God, I don't know what I'm doing, but God, I'm gonna take you serious in terms of my prayer life. I'm gonna commit. We talking about commitment? We are in the middle of March Madness. Starting, you know, whenever it starts, it'll be games going on from noon to midnight. And there's a lot of games. But do you know what? The majority of people are spectators. All of us gonna be on TV watching. We're putting our bracket. Most of us are spectators, and there are very few players. And in the kingdom of God, God is looking for people not to be spectators, but to say, you know what? Even if nobody heard this message, this month, I'm committing to the word of God. I'm committing to sexual purity. I'm committing to a lifestyle of prayer. I love y'all. God bless y'all.
Man, that was a good word right there.
Yes, it was. And I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life. And we want to encourage you to do the same.
There were so many gems in that message. So take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it to your life this week.
Let me pray for y'all before we go. Lord, we just thank you for this amazing day, and we thank you for bringing these viewers to us, Lord, so that way they can receive your word. I pray that you can be there with them every step of the way, every step that leads them closer to you and growing their journey and their path closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in with us. Make sure to log on next week at 11 a.m. Central. Till then, have a great week. God bless.
God bless.